Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
First of May, good evening, it's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, the health department's overspent by £8 million. The Isle of Man's part in the Isabel dos Santos story, the update guide to what the government's climate target report is up to, the teacher strike latest, and the bishop was at Sandringham last weekend, and there's fog on the mountain.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
But first of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the news headlines, Fasta Mai, Rhiann Evans.
Fasta Mai, a local rep for the NASUWT, has dismissed the deal made between the National Education Union and the Department of Education. Geraldine O'Neill questioned whether the deal is valid and disagreed with the Education Minister Graeme Cregeen's claims that the NEU has the largest membership of teachers on the island. An all-island speed limit will be reconsidered as part of the road safety strategy. The concept was originally rejected by more than half of those responding to a public consultation on the matter. However, the Chief Minister has hopes it could reduce crashes on Manx roads. The Lord Bishop has described a weekend at Sandringham with the royal family as wonderful. Peter Eagles was invited to give a sermon at the church service over Christmas and also got the opportunity to stroll around the house and grounds and speak to Her Majesty. From further afield, Donald Trump's impeachment trial officially gets underway shortly, but the prosecuting team's claiming it's rigged. The politician in charge of arguing the US president should be removed from office is asking senators to make sure it's fair. Backbench MP Jess Phillips has pulled out of the race to become the new Labour leader. One of the country's biggest unions, the GMB, has backed Lisa Nandy as its preferred candidate to replace Jeremy Corbyn. And Sainsbury's says it's cutting hundreds of management jobs. It's restructuring to bring its operations with Argos, which it owns, closer together. Those are your headlines. I'll have more news for you at 6 o'clock.
Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Good, thank you, Rhiann. From Ronald's Way Met Office, no warnings out in the North Irish Sea. On the island, cloudy and dry tonight. That intermittent overnight drizzle down to 7 degrees. For Wednesday, Ukraine, cloudy with intermittent rain at first, drying up later with light winds and top temperature of 10. Overnight minimum into Thursday is 5. And Jordan, much the same as Wednesday. Unsettled outlook for the weekend, though. Stronger winds and rain on the way. High water tonight's at 9:05, low water 19 minutes to 4 a.m. Sunrise in the morning is at 8:21, and high water 19 minutes to 10 Wednesday morning.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Well, the teachers' dispute rumbles on. Three of the four teaching unions represented on the island are in dispute over paying conditions with the department. They're the NASUWT, the NAHT, the Head Teachers Union, and ASCOL, the Association of School and College Leaders. All have held ballots in favour of both strike action and industrial action. The turnouts were 72 people for the NAHT took part in a ballot which represents 88% turnout. 95% voted in favour of the industrial election, 87.3% said yes to strike action. Of ASCOL, from a total of 25 entitled to take part, 22 voted, with 19 in favour of strike and 3 against. 22 members voted to were in favour of industrial action short of a strike. For the NASUWT, 94% in schools who returned their ballot paper voted in favour of a strike. 98% were in favour of an action short of a strike. 68% turnout for NASUWT. At the University College Isle of Man, 94% was the figure for a strike, 100% in favour of industrial action, short of a strike. The UCM turnout was 69%. The National Education Union is not in dispute and reported to have reached an agreement with the department. The department claims they represent over 500 of the 800 contracted teachers on the island. An emergency question about the agreement in principle between the DESC and the NEU was asked in Tynwald this morning. A number of members had queries for the Education Minister, Graeme Cregeen, starting with the Onken MHK, Julie Edge.
When these proposals come in from the UK government or from the teaching representatives, the STPC or the STRB, Does he not realise the impact financially of that to his department, and is he going to make it out of his net budget?
Minister to reply.
Thank you, Mr President. The other bandings will remain the same. So what you have done is you've removed the two bandings. This will mean that a newly qualified teacher, new teacher coming to teach in the Isle of Man, will be on approximately £6,000 more than what they would have previously been on.
Honourable Member for Douglas North, Mr Peake.
Thank you very much, Mr President. And I've got a couple of questions for the Minister. It's interesting to hear that the same arrangement seems to be agreed in the UK, and yet we've got a problem here in the Isle of Man. I'd like to hear his comments on that. But I'd also like to know why the Minister would think it right to release information or support some extra costs in salaries when there isn't even a business case submitted, let alone agreed.
Reply, sir.
Thank you, Mr President. This was advised to the NEU that this would be subject to a business case going forward.
Supplementary, Mrs Kane.
Thank you, Mr President. I'm interested to hear if the Minister feels there could be a knock-on effect that we were very attractive to new teachers if his proposal for this pay award goes ahead, but yet we may lose teachers of 2 and 3 years' experience who then don't feel that they're going to make any progression for some time up the scales compared with a newly qualified teacher. And also, does he feel that his action, when three of the education unions were briefing members on Thursday afternoon, and this deal was no doubt already concluded with the other union, does he not feel that it was insulting, rude, aggressive almost, to say nothing at that meeting on Thursday, announce it on Friday, and can he appreciate that that has further enraged the other unions, and would he acknowledge that his way of handling the disputes with the various unions is not seen as at all reaching out to a resolution that will avert a strike, and in fact seems to be leading irrevocably towards full strike action.
Reply, sir.
Thank you, Mr President. I don't understand the Honourable Member's assertion that we will lose teachers at Band 3. Why would they leave the Isle of Man on Band 3, where they would just go to another job on that same banding?
Then Mr Grigin told Alex Wotton he needs to know what the three unions still in dispute want before they can resolve the issue.
I think from some of the members who were asking the question, they were not sure on the grounds of what the discussions between the department and the unions have been. We've engaged with all the unions regarding their dispute, and as we said, that at no time have the three unions who have balloted actually told us what they're actually looking for. They've said that they want STPCD plus X, but when asked what X is, they've still failed to tell us what it is. And we entered into negotiations through the Manx Industrial Relations Services with NEU, who have over 500 members, and an agreement has come forward, which we will be putting through to Treasury. It's in principle, because we still haven't got approval for that, so that's the situation that we're in.
There is, though, some disparity, isn't there, between the unions themselves, because, of course, with that agreement in principle, there are three other unions, the NAS, UWT, which there's still, obviously, a disparity with the releasing of their results, and they're not in agreement, they're not showing a united front.
And what we've said is that if we get approval on the deal that's been agreed with the NEU, we will implement that across all teaching staff, so that will be across the other three unions as well.
But they're saying it's still not good enough.
I'm not aware that they advised their members what the offer was. As we said to them, that we offered them binding arbitration because, you know, the teachers, what we've done in the past is the same as they've done in England, which is STPCD. There is no dispute with those unions in England regarding the implementation of that pay claim. So our teachers are in the same area.
If the agreement in principle goes on to be an agreement, will you still have negotiations? Will you have ongoing conversations with the unions that are still unhappy?
Yes, and that's what we're saying, is that to come forward with negotiations, they've actually got to tell us what they're looking for. You know, these have been negotiations that have gone on for many months, and they have, you know, if they still don't tell you how much they're looking for, it's very difficult to go and say, well, how do we get to that point?
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint. Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
20 to 6 on Max Radio. This is Update. The Ben McCree left Heysham at about 25 to 2 this afternoon, slightly early, arrived in Douglas at about 10 past 5, and back off out again at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at half past 11 tonight. Of course, the Ben is the only steam packet vessel on duty. The Fastcraft will resume her seasonal services to Liverpool on March 27th. The first sailing of the year to Dublin is the day after, March 28th, and heading to Belfast on April the 8th.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Leaked documents have revealed how Africa's richest woman made her mega fortune through exploiting her own country, Angola, and sustained corruption via her father, José Eduardo dos Santos, the president of Angola from 1979 to 2017. And the Isle of Man seems to have played a small part in it. Isabel dos Santos' activities, as in 2014, a company called Salaba Real Estate was formed in the Isle of Man with the aim of investing in London property. Ms. Santos lives in Kensington. That, it seems, is as far as it went, so I asked Mike Davis, representative of the campaigning group Global Witness, where the Isle of Man fits in.
Well, the Isle of Man is one of quite a wide range of offshore financial centres which pop up on the map of the Isabel dos Santos money story. It's certainly not the only one. It's not necessarily the main one, but it's cropped up a few times in recent months in ways which are not too flattering to the Isle of Man. There was a story which broke last summer to do with Isabel dos Santos acquiring a £13 million mansion in Kensington through a shell company incorporated in the Isle of Man, a company sort of designed to hide her ownership. And the Isle of Man has cropped up in a couple of ways in the leaks which have come out in the past couple of days. Now, these are leaks which, I should stress, Global Witness, my organisation, has not had a chance to go over yet itself, so I'm going on what's reported. One element is another Isle of Man company seemingly set up for Isabel dos Santos to acquire property in London. It's not clear whether it ever actually did, but that's the alleged intention. And another is an Isle of Man wealth management firm alleged to be involved in the registration of a so-called super yacht worth around $35 million owned by Isabel dos Santos and her husband.
Did she actually have bank accounts on the Isle of Man, do you know?
I don't know if she had bank accounts on the Isle of Man. It is reported through these leaks that in the case of one of the shell companies set up to acquire property, that Isabel or her advisors approached the bank on the Isle of Man. Their request for business was turned down, and so they turned to a Portuguese bank instead.
She, of course, maintains this is a complete witch hunt. What would you say to her?
Well, I suppose to give Isabel dos Santos' argument a fair hearing, you would have to look at the politics going on in Angola. So the current president, Lourenço, who succeeded Isabel's father, José Eduardo dos Santos, you know, he's obviously very interested in clearing out potential opponents to his rule. And Isabel is a potential opponent. Just a few days ago, she refused to deny in a BBC interview that she might consider running for the president. So when she says it's a politically motivated witch hunt, that's not necessarily an absurd allegation, but I think what she is going to really struggle to convince people of is that the very ample evidence now of this enormous amount of wealth and the way in which it was generated is legitimate. There are all sorts of reasons for believing that it can't possibly be legitimate, and I think she's really going to struggle to convince people on that score.
We've had a response from the Isle of Man government, who note that the Isle of Man meets all of its international obligations with regards to preventing fraud and anti-money laundering. The accurate beneficial ownership register provides law enforcement agencies with information within 24 hours or within 1 hour for urgent requests. And the Isle of Man government's made a commitment to public registers by 2023 in line with the European Union. No company can be anonymous on the Isle of Man. Beneficial ownership information is readily available to the relevant authorities.
Manx Radio's business briefing. powered by Y-Manx.
Congratulations to Sainsbury's. A soft launch of Sainsbury's products across the Isle of Man ShopRite stores has begun this week. The partnership between the companies has promised customers thousands of new products available on the island. The long-term supply agreement with the UK supermarket replaces a previous arrangement with Waitrose and Iceland that spanned more than two decades. Sainsbury's has confirmed to Max Radio that as of yesterday, Monday 20th, customers will begin to see stock from the SO Organic, deliciously free from and taste the different ranges on offer. And from Gibraltar, news that GIB is considering joining the EU's Schengen Open Borders area to limit disruption caused by Brexit. Chief Minister Fabien Picardo said it didn't make sense for Gibraltar to be cut off from the rest of Europe, given its location bordering Spain. A decision to join the full Schengen area by the microstate could mean that UK travellers will have, and that means you, would have to apply for a mini visa known as an ETS to visit after Brexit.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Here's the news from the numbers from the FTSE 100, which closed at 5 o'clock. It's down 0.5% at 7,110.7. In Europe, the DAX in Frankfurt is up slightly at 13,555. And the news from New York after no trading yesterday for Martin Luther King Day. The Dow Jones in New York is down 0.1% at 29,313.87. The S&P 500 in Chicago up slightly at 3,328, and the Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index in New York up slightly at 9,390. On the currency market, the British pound sterling is up 0.33% at €1.1763 and up 0.25% at $1.3046. On the commodity markets, Brent crude is up 0.7% at $64.70 a barrel. And the latest on the gold market, up 0.1% at $1,559.25 an ounce.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Security. Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSound, personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations. Manx Radio, sport.
Faster My, Rhiann Evans.
Faster My, America is knocking on the door of a local footballer. Beth Craig is one of three female footballers who's been selected for a scholarship to play in the US. They were spotted on Ireland by a talent scout who had been invited over by women's football development manager Simon Elson. Beth, who plays for Blackpool FC and the Centre of Excellence Under 16 squad, says she's incredibly grateful for the opportunity.
Hopefully I can get more sponsorship because Nicola from Title IX said get as over as much as you can, play as much as you can at the highest level you can. We take all the sponsorship, like, to our hearts. And, like, a huge thank you to Jill Christian. A huge thank you to everyone who's helped.
From further afield, Harriet Dart brightened up a difficult day for Britain's tennis players at the Australian Open. After coming through qualifying, the world number 173 won a final set tiebreak to beat Japan's Masaki Doi and progressed to second round. But Joanna Konta, Katie Bolter, Kyle Edmund and Cameron Norrie all crashed out. Dart says she's delighted to still be in contention in Melbourne. And elsewhere, Frank Lampard has challenged his Chelsea players to start taking more of their chances, starting in tonight's London derby with Arsenal in the Premier League. He was left frustrated after Saturday's 1-0 defeat at Newcastle, where they had 19 shots without finding the back of the net. And that's your sport for this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Well, the news on the mountain road is that the matrix signs from Bagarrow, Sulby, Hilbury and Ramsey to the mountain are showing fog tonight, so please do take care. The Balavaga Road in Patrick has got a temporary closure between the A3 Curragh Road and the Lubes Road for highway resurfacing. And there are temporary two-way 24-hour signals at Main Road in Colby, also Ramsey Road in Laxey. Do take care. Remember, the Peel Road in Douglas has got a temporary closure of the footway between 41 Peel Road to the former Wall Control Centre, while Dandara are redeveloping the former Athol Garage. And are they getting on with it? All the information for the trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks at maxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey, and via the community tab, a link to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man. The news from Ronald's Way, everything is inbound okay. Departures are looking okay. The 5 past 5 to London City left 10 minutes late, but departures for Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing no problems at the moment.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions 670-145.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
The Health Department has been granted an extra £8 million for an overspend, but after an amendment from Laurie Hooper, the Ramsey MHK, they'll have to come back to Tynwald in June with plans and a timeline to bring staffing costs into line with a pre-approved budget. The debate moved from recruitment into the DHS to a hospital model in Scotland, and the number of times a request for more cash has been brought forward. So let's hear from Laurie Hooper, MHK, Chris Robertshaw, Kate Costain, and first, Juan Watterson.
If this action plan results in people living in warmer homes that are cheaper to heat, lower electricity prices, green jobs, less waste and a healthier population, then this isn't a cost, this is an investment. It is an investment in people, it is an investment in our economy, in our island and an investment in our future. Mr. Shimmins warned about designing a purely Manx solution, which I accept as a valid concern, but I would equally like to warn about simply lifting practice from elsewhere without thinking about our own situation. Copy and paste is not always the right approach. What works well for others might not be what's best for the Isle of Man.
And the news also that Tynwald has been discussing Professor James Curran's report into the achievement of climate targets. John Moss now continues his look at some aspects of the report this evening, capturing the carbon that we're told is largely causing climate change.
The science of climate change points the finger of blame at gases released into the atmosphere. That's what's heating the globe, we're told. Well, how much does the Isle of Man, you and I, our families, release annually? It depends on whether we have a cold or mild winter. Cold winters, well, we burn more fuel to keep warm. But it's around 830,000 tonnes a year going up there into the air. If the science of climate change is correct, we have to try and retrieve as much of that as we can. It is possible by carbon capture, though it's early days for the technology. Let me give you some terms. A direct carbon capture, now that sucks the gas out from the ambient air, from perhaps being next to a cement factory, it's a major producer of greenhouse gases, or a biomass power plant. CCS is carbon capture and storage. Now that involves taking the gas and putting it somewhere where it can't get back into the atmosphere, normally an underground geological formation. But again, this is relatively new technology and is still being worked on. However, something we do have on, or rather in this island, underground mines. The US National Energy Technology Laboratory says that North America has enough storage capacity for more than 900 years worth of carbon dioxide at current production rates. But underground storage isn't fail-safe. Professor Curran in his report sees the Isle of Man as a possible testbed opportunity for the industry to trial the technology with a relatively small and import-dependent liquid fuel industry, particularly since technology to decarbonise HGVs, heavy goods vehicles, marine and agricultural industries are not yet available. His report goes on to say over a third of the island's emissions come from the burning of fossil fuels and heating appliances. There's no reason why alternatives to fossil fuels such as heat pumps and solar thermal devices shouldn't be used to provide heating in all new build properties, he says.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Now let's hear from the MHKs in that health service debate. Laurie Hooper, Chris Robertshaw, Kate Costain and first, Juan Watterson.
What is going wrong in the recruitment and retention of senior staff here? I think we're on our fifth chief executive, including interims, in 6 years. Furthermore, that the key post of Transformation Director, tasked with delivering Sir Jonathan Michael's key structural reforms by next year, has, I understand, also gone.
just 3 months after the Chief Secretary said, and I quote, "I am confident that John is the right man for the job."
Over the last 5 years, Tynwald has been asked for an extra £42.5 million in supplementary votes for the health service. £9.9 million, £11.1 million, £9.5 million, £4 million, and now another £8 million. And despite assurances we've received in the past, we are back in exactly the same position that a number of us warned we would be in, and if we're honest, we all knew we would be here. We all know the challenges faced by the health department don't have a quick fix. It's not going to be resolved overnight.
Honourable members may recall that I had a little fun at my own expense on the matter of madness, as it was raised by the Treasury Minister in the debate on my motion about fairness for the low paid last month. Well, surely this motion is the true epitome of madness, doing the same thing year after year after year and expecting a different outcome. Actually, it's bonkers.
There was a hospital in Scotland that I came across when I was minister that I was very interested in, because they were running, they had very poor standards, they were always in deficit. And do you know how they turned it round? They said, "We are going to put the patient first. Whatever is best for that patient is what's going to happen." They saved money. Why did they save money? Because give that person the treatment they need, the care that they need, it reduced falls. It reduced lengths of hospital stays. And the list went on and on and on. Standards improved dramatically because they weren't just following the money.
For the latest Manx news, the current interviews and features, go to manxradio.com. Powered by Miller Chaps of Ramsey, also there's the largest store of videos, plus MTTV, Culture Vannin and Manx National Heritage. Like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. And remember, this program is available as a podcast within 5 minutes of going off the air. You can hear Update anytime, 24 hours a day, simply by subscribing to the podcast at the App Store. Oh, and if you haven't got the Manx Radio app, get it today. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to our newsreader, Rhiann Evans, producer Sarah Hendy, and Andy Wint. Back Wednesday evening for another Update at 5:30.
WINT.